Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Toppins with Twins. Today we're going to discuss the FA Cup carnage and the blinks and doubles incoming. Let's do it.
Hey there everyone, this is Luke here with Toppins with Twins. Sitting next to me, I have Paul. Paul, say hi to everyone.
Hey everyone, just going to go ahead and get in front of it. I'm a little sniffly today. Allergies are not the best right now in Southwest Florida, so just bear with us, but I'm excited for another podcast here with Luke.
Yeah, we're both looking forward to it this week. I think there's a lot to go over. A lot has changed since the end of Game Week 27. There's been a lot of injuries, we have a better idea now of what to expect for blinks and double game weeks. So we're going to go right into that. But before we do, how about we talk about our Game Week 27 teams? Paul, do you want to tell everyone how you did this past week?
Yeah, it was a tough game week for me. I had a really good Game Week 27. That was kind of, I think, pushing me to a place where I was like, okay, we're going to really push for where we want to be and where the season can go going forward, you know? And kind of just stagnated a little bit, you know? I had
are you saying that you started out the week started out really well and then it kind of went downhill from there?
No, I think just my expectations going into the week
didn't meet
where I wanted to go, and like I said, overall through the Premier League season, I think there's specific places I want my team to go, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like just where I went in
where you want your overall rank.
I want to win our mini league, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, not the worst week ever, but the Cole Palmer captaincy is really what got me.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and talk about this real fast. So I looked on FBref, which is a great place to compare stats for individual players, make comparisons between players. You can look at team stats. Cole Palmer in this game, according to FBref, had an XG of 1.3. That's his fourth highest single game XG in the entire season. The three other games above that, he returned 7 goals and maybe an FPL assist or so in there, right? 7 goals from those three games. And then he manages 1.3 XG in one game with no returns. Just really shows how unlucky those Cole Palmer captains
were. So, I mean, we sat down and we watched that game together because we both captained Palmer last week. And it was one of those where, like, I feel like even if he turned up in front of an empty net, something was going to go wrong. You know, it was just like once the game started, I was like, fuck.
This reminded me of earlier in the season whenever I captained Palmer. I can't remember who they were playing. Maybe it was Southampton away. But he had the open net, and then Madueke got in the way of his shot. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
That was another week where I captained Mr. Cole Palmer. So my captaincies of Cole Palmer have not really brought anything of overall value to me up to this point. But
overall, we move on to this week. You know, it is what it is. Even if, like Luke said a little bit at the top of the podcast, it's pretty crazy right now in FPL. If you had a team, which I think Luke had a lot of these, Cunha, Hall, Mateta.
Oh, I have all of them.
That kind of vein. It's a really difficult time. But Luke, go ahead and tell us about your team, and then we can also dive into
Yeah, I'll start out with how my team performed in 27 and then how it's looking now for 28. Two very different stories there. For Game Week 27, I ended up on 55 points. I was okay with that. If Palmer would have returned the way that he could have, let's say 2 goals and assist, just a return, I would be sitting much happier with the game week. Overall, 55 points, I'm okay with. The best returner of the week is going to be Kluivert. Him getting the goal and the three bonus points goes a long way.
A beautiful goal, too.
A beautiful goal. Got a jammy Jared Bowen assist that potentially maybe not an assist.
We take it.
Who knows, right?
Should have been a goal. What are you saying?
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
You're right. That should have been 2 goals.
Yeah, for a goal and an assist.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I like the way my team was set up going into 28. Felt like there was not too much I had to do to get ready for 29 for the blanks. And then the FA Cup struck. Mateta gets kicked in the face by a goalkeeper, which was a horrendous, horrendous challenge. And it's very fortunate that it's looking like he might be able to be back by game week 30, which after seeing that live, you would not think he'd be able to and being stretchered off.
Yeah, well, literally one of the worst challenges I think anybody would say they've ever seen in a football match.
Yeah, that was horrible. So we're glad that he's on the road back to a healthy recovery.
25 stitches, I think.
Yeah, that's insane. But hopefully he'll be back soon. And on top of that, that's really about it for the team. Kirkez gets a assist for that. He got an assist for the Kluivert goal, which was really nice. And I'm 2 points above the average this week. So not a horrible week, but at the same time, I want to be making rank gains at the moment, seeing those green arrows week after week. And it's just not quite coming together. So I need to figure out the best path forward. Going into game week 28, I have 2 free transfers, and I have 2 major issues to deal with in my team. I have Cunha, who talk about a roller coaster ride for FPL owners.
It makes me so mad.
Especially that it's in the 120th minute. Like, it's just incredibly...
But it's one thing. I understand, like, if it happens once, if you make a rash decision. This is the second time within probably, like, what, 10 game weeks, something like this has happened with him.
Yeah. No. You're starting to see a trend here, and we'll see how that impacts him going to a different club in the future. It could be a big concern for a lot of clubs. Something to note. So Cunha is someone that's going to have to go. He has 4 or 5 match ban. I think it's 5.
4.
4. So he'll be out for 3
for the red, and then an extra game. So it's the second straight red.
Okay. So he will be out for 4 fixtures. And those lovely, lovely fixtures are Everton at home, Southampton away, West Ham at home, and Ipswich away. The sole reasons why I brought Cunha back into my team, because those feel like they're built for him to return, and he's not going to be able to play in any of those. So that's extremely disappointing for anyone who had him in their teams. And if you didn't have Cunha in your team, consider yourself pretty lucky, because I think he was going to go on a run there for those fixtures.
He scored a beautiful goal against Bournemouth in the cup tie.
He did, yeah, he did. It's just the highs and the lows of what you get with Cunha. Then I also have Lewis Hall in my team as well. He's going to have to go because he's out for the rest of the season. He picked up an ankle injury. He's going to miss the cup final against Liverpool. And Newcastle seemed to be in big trouble.
Yeah, I think there was reports today that Botman also is out again.
Mm-hmm. So that means Gordon will be out, Hall will be out, Botman as well. Isak, we're not entirely sure on.
We have questions about.
There's going to be a lot of potential gaps in that squad for the end of the season. So we'll see if they can push for Champions League. It's going to be quite tough.
Once again.
No.
Luke knows exactly where I'm going. Sounds kind of like Dune. That was like, sorry, Dune's on the brain. I watched it last week. But once again, it lays out perfectly for a specific team that I'm not going to mention because Luke's going to kill me. But
they've been in the media more than enough over the past 24 hours in the, media cycle. So let's try not to go there during the pod because we don't want to beat a dead horse.
You're right.
So there's, potential options out there to replace these 2 players within my team. I'm not entirely sure where I'm going to go, though. There's a couple players that come to mind, but I need to decide where I want to prioritize getting the best pick in, and then that's going to make my secondary decision. So, for example, I can just walk through real fast if you want.
Yeah, no, I would love that. We can have a little discourse about it.
So in my mind, right, I need to replace a striker and a defender. For a striker position, I think Chris Wood makes the most sense. Just the way I see it, right? Mm-hmm. He is not going to double. He's not going to blank in 29. So that addresses that issue there, right? I have someone who's going to play for 29. But he's not the most exciting option to me either. I like Forest Run going from 29 on. They've got really nice fixtures. But I also kind of want to get a piece of the Forest defense as well. I like the idea of maybe Nico Williams. He's at 4.4, really cheap. Aina has gone up. I think he's around 5 at this point. So I could save some budget there. But in my mind, I also really like Man City's run for the end of the season as well. And I think they might turn it around a little bit, start to build into the next season, you know, continue to work on that continuity as they kind of, you know, they'll next season they'll be wanting to push for the title. So I think it's important that they finish the season strong. But, you know, there's the other part that I already have Marmoush as one of my strikers. Uh-huh. Do I want to double up on City, right? Because if I'm looking at City, I'd go after Gvardiol for my defender that I bring in, bringing Chris Wood as a striker. But do I want 2 City assets? Do I want to go with 2 forced assets and bring in Nico Williams or Aina along with Chris Wood? Or do I even want to bring in Chris Wood altogether? So there's different routes I want to go.
Well, Luke, to highlight, I think it's just a really good thing to encapsulate that Forest lately have been a roller coaster in how they've performed in the Premier League. So they just tied with Arsenal in game week 27. Then they lost to Newcastle 4-3. So 7 goals in that game. They lost to Fulham 2-1. Beat Brighton 7-0. And then beat Bournemouth 5-0. And also beat Southampton 3-2. So, I mean, this is a team right now that I think they've kind of steadied the ship a little bit since the 5-0 loss. But, I mean, maybe if you're looking at it from the reverse side, I don't think it's a bad time to bring Haaland in against Forest this week.
Okay.
I don't think it's the worst time ever.
Another player that's shockingly on my mind at the moment that I feel like is a good move at this point is Phil Foden. I think he's someone that could find a nice patch of form as City's fixtures get a bit easier. Someone on the mind, and I like Gvardiol as well too, right? But I don't know if I want to triple up on City is my concern there. So
yeah, but City do have that incoming double in, I think it's 33, right? Is mm-hmm. what it'll fall.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's kind of good to move, not necessarily move too early, because I think there's still some facts and like actual confirmations of the double game weeks that we need right now. But I don't think it's a bad idea to kind of start pivoting your team that way, because it, like I said, it would be, so it's Ben Krellin on his fixture spreadsheet has City is a highly probable double game week against Everton, is it?
Everton and Villa.
Everton and Villa in 33.
And that would be Everton away, Villa at home. That both of those fixtures I like a lot for City's attacking assets. Everton, a bit tricky going to Goodison Park, but that there's not a rivalry there. I think it's different if, you know, Everton are playing Liverpool at home. Yeah. But I could see that being one of those where City go in and just thrash them like 5 or 6 goals.
Yeah, another thing kind of talking about, you brought up Liverpool, Luke. We can talk about that a little later, actually. But I agree with you that I think City's run of fixtures going forward is really enticing. And I think for people that have the triple captain chip still remaining in their back pocket, I think Haaland's always a great option to consider. And him in a double game week could be spicy.
That was one of my next thoughts that I was going to say is if you look at City's run, so they go potentially this would be their run, right? If they do double in 33, Brighton at home for 29, Crystal Palace at home for 32, that's... Okay, I'll backtrack on that. But I like their run a lot. Here's the thing. If you're going to bring in Haaland, I think the main advantage of bringing him in is you captain him.
Yeah,
I think that is the main reason why you would want to bring him in, because you're counting on a massive haul from Haaland, but double those points. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably the best way to approach it, in my opinion. Going against Salah and Palmer is a little scary, Palmer, not as much at this point in time. I think Palmer is going to be a massive route to Haaland for a lot of people. But maybe the correct way to do this is to go from Salah to Haaland.
I've been playing around with both options, Luke, and I think I've preferred Palmer so far. But in saying that, I mean, Chelsea don't blink next week in 29. And like I was going to talk about this, but Liverpool have that run of fixtures where they're going to play Southampton this week, and then they blank, and then there's also they play PSG in the midweek, and they also play Newcastle in a cup tie. So that's going to be a lot of games involved. And then after the blank, and they play those cup fixtures and the Champions League game, they play Everton and then also Fulham. Two games that I don't think are cut and dry. Like, I think both of those fixtures could be difficult for Liverpool. So, I mean, if you want to finish the rest of your season with some risk involved, I agree with you that I don't think it's a horrible idea to think to take Salah out, after, especially after watching like every minute of that PSG-Liverpool match, like completely uninvolved. And then they sub on Harvey Elliott, who gets the winner, you know?
What a wild match. It's pretty incredible that Liverpool walk away from there, can go back to Anfield with one goal advantage for the second leg.
So Alisson was so, so good. It was crazy.
Yeah, he was very impressive watching the highlights back. I do hear what you're saying there, though, Paul. Southampton is a good fixture for Salah. It's a great fixture. I would not advocate for taking Salah out this week.
But do we think Salah's going to play the whole match?
That's a great question.
I think you hedge
your bets a little bit there, because if he does play against Southampton, not having him at all will absolutely bury you. It will kill you.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Maybe you don't have to captain, right? And you get at least 100% of his ownership. I think what this will do probably, right? The biggest thing is it's going to discourage people from triple captaining, from the concern of, will he be rested? Is he going to play 60 minutes? Is he going to play 70? Not knowing exactly how much time on the pitch he's going to get, that will scare a lot of people away from triple captaining Salah for this week, for game week 28, sorry. Maybe after 28, though, it's an interesting move to move off of Salah and kind of take a risk with your team.
Yeah, no, I think it's like usual, it's always all up to the state of your team, where you're currently at, where you want to see yourself go. Like, if you're top 10K right now, probably wouldn't recommend taking Salah out.
No.
Like, just kind of ride the wave a little bit. But also, if you're top 10K and you've played the whole season with a ton of risk and you've managed to make it work, keep doing what's working for you, you know? But I really do think that I personally would love to have Haaland back in my team over the next, like, probably for the run of fixtures.
Yeah, I like the idea of that, but in my mind, having Marmoush in my team is enough cover to where I feel fine with not having Haaland. And then I have, you know, flexibility within my team that I'm not tying up that 15 or 14 point, however million Haaland is at the moment, where I'm losing that much in my team. So, Marmoush is someone I'm happy with. I just would like to see him return sometime soon, because I brought him in, I think, following the Newcastle hat trick, and haven't seen much from him since then. So just hoping to see a nice return or two over the next couple of weeks would be great.
Yeah. Another thing, Luke, that I want to point out real quick about the 33 doubles possibly is that Arsenal could be playing Ipswich and Crystal Palace in that double game week 33.
Those would be good doubles.
Like, if you're telling me if Saka's back.
Do you know if he will be back?
The last I heard was like early April, I think, which would work out with those dates. So, I mean, you throw him into an Arsenal team that, I mean, obviously has a lot of up and downs right now, but just scored 7 on the road against PSV, and you're playing Ipswich and Crystal Palace. I mean, maybe that's a possibility for a triple captain, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it potentially could be.
I think the reason why I bring that up, Luke, is obviously I think there's just a lot of different pathways you can go down. And if you're really looking to like raise your rank and like make up ground in a mini league, I think there's going to be really good ways to do it that probably aren't crazy risky, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. I agree with that. I'll be intrigued to see if Sokka does come back, because that's something. I don't have the triple captain left, but a cheeky little captain with very low ownership could be something very interesting. But you also do worry that if he's coming back, he's probably not going to play back-to-back fixtures, or at least 90 minutes in back-to-back fixtures.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he would be with how Arteta manages his minutes, but
yeah, Arteta's like, you're fine, get out there.
We are treating this like next year's Champions League final. So, yeah. Or this season's. Arsenal's still going very strong. It looks like they're around, they're destined for the quarterfinals.
So. Gonna be in Madrid.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Well, you know, we'll kind of see how that plays out with Sokka, but we do definitely need to have an idea of how these FA Cup draw, the draw has already been done, but we need to know how the FA Cup is going to sort itself out before we can fully know the right move for which direction to go with our chip usage. Mm-hmm. Do you have a plan for how you're going to use your chips, Paul? Have you set that in stone yet?
It is not in stone. It's a very adaptable plan that I have right now. But I think I know how I kind of want my chips to play out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, I don't like it like you said it this way. I don't have a set in stone plan about what exactly I'm going to do, because I want to have as much information as possible. Like, realistically, I think it would probably be the best thing for me to wild card this week or next week just to kind of set my team up for success. Because, I mean, at a certain point in FPL, you don't want to hold on your chips for way too long and then get to, say, game week 35 and be 150 points off winning your mini league or off the rank you want to be at. So I think, like I said earlier, it's all team dependent. But for my team, I really think at this point in time, I can manage the next couple weeks without using a big chip, even without using a chip at all. So that's probably what I'm going to do just to give myself more time.
Yeah, same here. I think I will probably, I'll get through 28 without using a chip, 29. And then I think 30 to 31 is whenever I'll probably start kicking the chip usage into high gear. We should have a better idea going around that time of 30 when everything's going to be played. I'm going to take a look here and make sure, I want to figure out whenever the FA Cup matches are going to be played. So,
yeah. And another interesting thing too, is that I remember, when was it? I think a couple of weeks ago they announced the doubles for 32, right? Or was it, I don't know. I just remember a couple weeks ago they announced a double that was like a really quick turnaround.
Yeah, no. So that was Newcastle and Crystal Palace for 32.
Yeah. And that was confirmed literally like last week. So like there is going to be a short turnaround to all that. And when the information's released, people are going to move. Price changes are going to happen quickly. So it's a good thing to be aware of and just kind of keep notifications on for those moments, because
yeah,
things change really quickly in the FPL landscape.
So the FA Cup quarterfinals are going to be the weekend of March 29th and 30th. In those fixtures, we have Fulham versus Crystal Palace, Brighton versus Forest, Preston North End versus Villa, and then Bournemouth versus Man City. If I can get my fixture ticker to load here. Let me try to turn my Wi-Fi off and get this to load. But the goal of this is we want to know where that lines up with our fixtures so that we can say when we're going to know how to use our chips, right? Because the result of those quarterfinals is going to be insanely important for who's making it through and then who's going to blink in 33 or 34 and figure all that out. So my fixtures are not wanting to load, so we'll come back to that one. But so Paul, in your team currently, do you feel like you're going to make any transfers this week? What is your head sitting at for that?
Yeah, there's going to have to be transfers. I'm not positioned very well for the blank game week right now. Like, I think I have...
How many blankers do you have?
At this moment, I think there's three.
Three, okay.
So, but that's including Lewis Hall and Cunha, who are still on my team. So they're probably going to come out this week.
Well, Cunha, he wasn't blanking.
Well, I know he wasn't blanking, but he is technically a blanker now. So, so I need to get those people out. Probably Lewis Hall, Cunha. I think I know exactly who I want to bring in for them, but it's still kind of adaptable. I think I know where I want to go, and there's transfers that I really want to make, but I'm probably just not going to be able to do that this week.
Okay.
Sorry. I just don't want to say exactly, you know?
No, you're good. You don't have to say specific players. That does make sense though. I am a little worried about my 29 team currently because as of now, I have, eight players that play in game week 29. That's not ideal, right?
I'd say 10's probably.
Well, I would like to get to 11.
I mean, 11 obviously is perfect.
The thing about this too, though, is I'm going to be keeping my Crystal Palace players because then they go and they double in 33, right? Yes. Is what the projection is. Mm-hmm. So, I don't want to get rid of Mateta or Munoz. So that leaves me with, and then I'm probably not going to get rid of Slot either because I don't want to sell him and then buy him back at a higher price point. So I have pretty much three transfers I need to make between now and game week 29 for the double. I can easily manage that, right? That's not going to be a huge problem. But I do need to figure out how I'm going to line my team up for 28 with making those transfers because there are some very good fixtures for 28 that we're looking at.
Oh my God. Look, you know which one you know who I absolutely love this week, but I probably won't be able to bring him in.
Who?
Eze.
Yeah. I do like Eze for that.
Absolutely love him especially without Mateta there. Like he's going to be on pens.
Yeah. And Nketiah, I would imagine gets the start.
Yeah. That's a big chance for him.
Maybe he's a punt that someone can make if they are going to be free hitting in 29 and then they can transfer him out in 30 potentially.
Yeah.
And you never know when Mateta gets back either. So you could potentially have him for a couple of weeks there.
I mean, last I checked right before we did the pod, Munoz was the number one transfer in.
Yes. Yep. No, he's going to be a great option to have this week. He will definitely be starting in my team. You know, I think we're going to know how the week is going from the first game, right? When you have Forest versus City, that's going to be a pretty big FPL game because a lot of people are getting a little bit more into City assets and a ton of people have Chris Wood. If City go and throttle Forest and Wood blinks, that's going to set up, I think, my team, right, for a good week. And I would love to see Forest lose their clean sheet with a Wood blink. You know,
oh yeah, this podcast loves a Chris Wood blank. Let me tell you,
yeah,
we absolutely do. We are certified haters of Chris Wood.
It would be a weird feeling to have him in our team, and it's very possible he might be coming into the team this week. So
I'm fighting it, Luke.
There needs to be it needs to be an adjustment there on my end. I think I'm going to bring him in. So, yep, I think this has been a really good pod so far. One thing that I want us to talk about is captaincy. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but I want us to circle back on that now. Are you in the camp, Paul, that you think that Salah is the best captain this week, or are you kind of hedging somewhere else?
I'll just say it, since I won't say anything about my transfers, I will be captaining Cole Palmer this week.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not moving away from that. I think Liverpool were really bad against PSG in certain regards from their attack. And I'm worried about Salah getting a full 90. And we know a lot of Salah's stats, some of them come from those tap-ins in the 92nd minute when a game's about to die, you know? So if he's not playing a full 90, I mean, think about Palmer last week, the XG you were talking about in the Southampton match, like, He's gonna be around chances. It's just kind of like, are the players he's playing with, are they gonna convert with them, and is Palmer gonna show up on the day? Because last week that was the main thing. Like he was in these spaces and he just wasn't in top form. but we know he's talented enough, and they're playing a Leicester team that are going to give up goals. So I think I'm just going to leave it there because last week was disappointing, but the signs were there that he could have had a hat trick in that match.
And I think the good thing about, you know, Palmer keeping it there as well too, is that you can just see with Cole Palmer, he has these opportunities and he's like, how is this not going in the back of the net?
Yeah, he's pissed at himself.
He seems very flustered. And I think once the dam breaks, he's going to have a massive haul in him. That first goal that goes in, like, let's say going back to Southampton, if Palmer gets that goal where he has the 1v1 against Ramsdale, puts it away and scores in the, what I think it was like the 20th minute, 30th, he's on for a couple more returns with that, right? Like, yeah, the psychological change would have been massive. As far as Salah goes, this feels like one of those games where Salah is either going to blank or he's going to have a 20-pointer to me. I don't think there's any middle ground. And the amount of times that he's blanked in fixtures, whether it's Champions League, whether it's the Carabao Cup, whether it's Premier League, he hasn't been blanking often, right? Like, he's just been continually getting goals or assist. It's how the season's gone. He blanked this week against PSG. Is he going to blank against Southampton at home? I don't think so. I really don't. And because of that, I'll be going with Salah with my captaincy. I just think it's a week that it's not worth the potential gain. And maybe even some people will be off the idea of not captaining Salah. So I like the idea of other people going with Palmer, because I think Salah looked pissed at the end of that match against PSG. And I could see him wanting to have a, you know, Salah-esque performance where he goes for two goals and insists on an XG of 0.02. So,
yeah, like, there's just for context. So as of this year, so 2025, Salah has blanked 1, 2, 3. He blanked 3 straight games after he scored against United, right? And then since then, he's had a return in every match beside the PSG one. So it's for people like me, this is going to be a really risky week, and I have even more reason to not root for Liverpool. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of discretion here. And I mean, besides Palmer and Salah, do you think there's anybody else, Luke? I would say maybe Haaland.
Yeah, I think Haaland is a good shout. I forced away could be tricky for City, is how I'm approaching it. I'm approaching that with a bit hesitancy. I like your Eze shout. I don't know if captaincy worthy.
Damn, that would be bold.
That would be pretty wild. I wish that Saka was still playing with Arsenal, because Manchester United away, that feels like a really good one to captain him in, with just how poor they've been across the board. But ultimately, I really think the two main options for captaincy are going to be Palmer or Salah. If you're so inclined, I mean, you could go for a really differential captain, but I don't think we're to that point in the season yet where you need to be overly grasping at straws. So kind of keep your head about you. And, you know, I think Salah or Palmer, both very good options. It just kind of comes down to personal preference and how you play the game.
Yeah, I agree with you, Luke. Yeah, that's for captaincy. I think those are probably going to be the best options. But like we said earlier, all depends on your level of risk, you know?
Yes, it does. It definitely does. Well, I think that's probably going to bring us to the end of the pod today. We're going to keep it nice and short, you know, short and sweet, so that you guys can enjoy this and get on with the rest of your day. But Paul, over to you. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners out there?
Just be careful with your chips going forward. Like I said, I think having a good idea of a plan is great at this point in time. But I'd say throwing a wild card in this week, whenever you're looking at like a blank of next week, there's going to be a lot bigger blanks going forward. So, or if you're even planning on using like a free hit or anything like that, which we would never encourage. We are anti-free hits and blank game weeks. But if you're going to do that, just really sit down and consider it, because, I mean, I think you can maximize those chips a lot more if you're utilizing them in double game weeks rather than blank game weeks. And it's okay sometimes. Like Luke said, when we were talking about how many players he has, if you're fielding 10 and you feel good in those 10 players, it's probably better than taking a hit and getting in players that are going to play that week, but then mess up your team farther down the line, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, all team dependent. But
especially if you are bringing in players, if you're taking players out who are going to be doubling soon, think of that as almost kind of a sunk cost, right? Keep them in the team for 29. If you have to play with 10 for a week, we're okay with that, right? It's as I said, it kind of ties into what I said earlier. It's personal preference. But blank game weeks do tend to have lower scoring weeks. There's going to be a huge amount of variance in 29 because Salah is not playing. That not having him available is going to make captaincy wide open again, which will be a lot of fun. Yeah, so there will be some potential massive rank gains there. So,
and no Isak too.
No Isak as well. So just remember that for a week like that, there's a lot to be gained and maybe not as much to be lost. So high upside week there for 29 for sure. As far as me, I think Paul summed it up great. So I will not have any more closing thoughts. So thank you for that, Paul. And thank you all for joining us for this podcast this week. We hope you have an excellent, excellent game week 29. And be sure to join us next week for a preview for game week 30.
Yeah. And guys, also, if you've enjoyed this podcast, if you're still listening, just leave us 5 stars, give us a follow on social media, and reach out to us. Let us know what you thought of the podcast and how we can help you with your FPL teams, or just have a conversation, because that's what we do here. We like being around each other and we like having conversations about FPL. So,
yes. And to clarify, I meant have a good game week 28. Not game week 29. 29 is 2 weeks away, so yeah. Let's not jump the gun there. Sorry about that, everyone. Have a great game week 28, and we will talk with you all soon. Thanks.
Thanks, everyone.